Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This Aspire podcast is being recorded and aired for September 27th, 2025. I like it getting questions like I'm about to answer here, and I'm always very grateful to those who are, shall we say, thoughtful enough, kind enough, mindful enough, maybe, to ask a question. This comes from Larry in Long Island, New York. That's interesting. So far away. How can I use my mind better? I don't think I am thinking correctly, he said. And he goes into some of the things that he's going through with his mind. And I called him and talked to him just briefly. I told him he might need to go see a neurologist or something like that, but he still wanted me to answer the question, hoping that in some way it might have helped someone else too. We don't use our minds very well. None of us do. We use them to think instead of, and to reason and to come up with logic and all the things that we have answers to the problems, but we never see that the mind itself is the issue. It is the problem. And genetically, we kind of accept the mind for what it is. We inherited certain traits and, conditions of the body with all of its chemicals. And before you know it, that's the way we think. We think from the oxytocins, the dopamine, the serotonins, all of that. It makes for a very difficult life when I am perceiving it only through the genetic disposition of my mother and father. Now, you can probably tell as you listen to me, I didn't have a great mother and father. They weren't brain surgeons or rocket scientists. They could barely, I think, get through a day. But I used to watch them as I was a kid, and I observed many things about how they use their minds. So one of the things that would help you, Larry, in all of this is the nati-nati, neither this, neither that. We tend to take our minds and purport them into prejudice, from prejudice to prejudice. And this goes on and on and on in our thinking. One of the things that we, admire about our thoughts or think is the only thing we have going for us with our thoughts is our thoughts themselves. We don't really understand where they come from, how they are enacted, what their nature is, where their source is. As long as I am thinking Greg, thinking how Greg works, thinking about Greg, I will always have the same old thoughts. But I have found, as the practice developed within me, that I had a question when I was a little boy, and the question was, why can I only have the thoughts I have? I used to sit and ponder that over and over. Why are these the only thoughts I have? Why are my thoughts, so to speak, rather prejudiced? The other kids liked baseball. I wasn't particularly thrilled with baseball. I played it, but I didn't get into it, really. I was more of a artiste. I liked playing with puppets. I liked the whole idea. I loved Halloween. I loved costumes. I know this all sounds so very strange for a 5, 6, 7-year-old, but I also went into outer space when I was a little boy, all of these things. And they were all just illusions and delusions. And when I finally figured it out as I got older and I started to realize that my mind would go into its funk, it wasn't depression, it was just going around and around and around, a never-ending cycle of silliness and basic stupidity. Then I realized where my thoughts came from. Eventually, it became very clear for me. and it was emotions. It was all about my emotions. And when I realized that my emotions dictated my thoughts, then I understood why my thoughts were the way they are. Now, psychologists and psychiatrists will tell you thoughts come first and they control emotion. I have not found that to be true for myself. Now, that may be true for others. I have never seen it, but that's what people tell me, the people in charge, you know, the psychologists and everything. What I have found was this. When I let my emotions go, when I just let them run rampant in me, I had all sorts of thoughts, thoughts that were the only thoughts I could have. But when I started to understand the nature of my emotions, that they were not love at all, that they were not developed, that they were not being used properly, I started to let go of certain emotions. I would listen to that still, small voice within me that was beyond my emotionality, that didn't make sense to my logic or reasoning. I learned how to listen to it. Over and over and over again, the whole world started to open up at 12 years old. I started to see things in a different light. Now, the same thing could be true of you, I am sure. If you understood your emotionality, you would understand where it came from, how it developed. Where did your emotions come from? What did they spring from? Well, if you look at your mother and your father and you start to see how they operated, how they do operate, whatever, you start to realize that you are having nothing but a series of emotional connections to your body, from your body, through your body, that are telling you about how to survive, how to live in survival mechanism, which goes into my DNA. And when I understand that my emotions are attached to my DNA and it is fight or flight kind of thing, then I begin to understand why I think the way I do. I'm always thinking in a kind of leverage, looking for a leverage to get what I want or to overcome something that is painful to me. I have a strategy. My mind strategizes my emotions and tells me, well, this is what you need to do, and this is how you need to say things, and blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. And before you know it, you're not living your life. You're strategizing how to survive your life, and that's where a lot of our thoughts come from. What is best for me? How do I get what I want? You know, am I as good as other people? All these crazy thoughts we have, and we just make them the ebb and the flow of our daily life. And in doing so, we miss the entire experience of living. So if you want to understand your mind and use your mind, well, meditate. Put an object in front of you. I do this with my students. They hate it. You put an object, a candle, a rock, it doesn't matter really what it is, and just look at it, watch it, observe it, see it for what it is. Just observe it. Do not come up with a final conclusion about whatever that object is. I do this every morning to prep myself for the day and get ready for meditation. You just sit with this object and you observe it. You just observe it. You don't add thought to it. And when thoughts come up, you dismiss them. I used to say to my group when I was teaching formally, I would say, if you were as diligent about your life as you are about the mischief of your life, you would awaken deeply. If you could only see what you are doing to your life through your thoughts, and you were passive, as passive towards your thoughts as you are what I'm teaching you, you would be awakened by now. It's a matter of being passive towards them. So when you have this object in front of you, you are just observing it. You are not thinking it. You are just watching it. You are not analyzing it. You are just observing, and thoughts will come through your mind that will dictate insanity, and you will understand that this too shall pass, and you don't have to live in this insanity if you don't choose to. Yeah, most people do, though. They just don't know how to live without a thought. Anyway, I hope that helped you. If it didn't, Larry, just call me back and I'll explain a little further. But thank you for your beautiful question. Thank you for your patience, my dear audience. And we'll be back on the air tomorrow. Please forgive me. Namaste.